faithful God. My heart was just really stirred sitting there thinking, who else in the universe do people all over the world gather just to sing songs of praise to? Just to listen to their words. Nobody like our God. Nobody as worthy as praise as our God is. Just overwhelmed my heart to think all of us coming from different backgrounds, different stories, but the one thing we have in common is a faithful God. Amen. Who has blessed us, who has sent his son to die for us, who has been so good to us. Man, just let that stir your heart this morning. God's been good. God's been faithful. Now, you may have had a tough week, but God's still faithful. And he's worthy of our praise. And so often we come to church and it's empty, our worship. Our thoughts are elsewhere. And I hope that your heart and your mind has been tuned in to a God who is very worthy of your praise this morning. And he really is worthy of it. And that just really stirred my heart as I heard that truth this morning. And really, I guess it's a collection of all the things we've already spent time worshiping the Lord about today. He is great. His grace is sufficient. All of these things have been wonderful things. Now, none of that's the message. All that's for free, okay? But my heart was just stirred, so I had to share it. But Matthew chapter 21 is where we'll be at in the scriptures. And by the way, your heart ought to be stirred when you come to church. When you come to the gathering of the Lord's people, whether it is by a song or whether it is by the sermon or maybe it's just in fellowship with somebody else, your heart ought to be stirred. And when you hear God's praise being sung, when you hear God's word being preached, your heart ought to be stirred. And if it's not, then maybe there's an issue with your heart that you need to deal with. And again, that's free, but I just want to say it, okay? But Matthew chapter 21 is where we'll pick up our time in the scriptures together today. I want to preach to you a message about believing prayer. I heard the story about an old Scottish preacher. And he was talking about this incident that happened with his daughter. One Sunday morning, they were going through a great drought in Scotland. And so one Sunday morning, as he typically did, he stood in front of the church and he asked the church to pray for rain. And the service ended and they went home and they ate lunch. And later on that evening, they were going to go back for an evening service. And his little girl went to hand her dad an umbrella. And she said, "Daddy, here's the umbrella." And he looked at her and he said, "What in the world is that for?" And she said, "Didn't you tell everybody to pray for rain this morning?" And so he casually took the umbrella from his daughter, not really thinking much of it. But wouldn't you know it, by the time the evening service was over, they needed the umbrella. And he said he learned a lesson from that whole experience. And here's the lesson. Most of us pray prayers that even we don't really believe God is going to answer. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anyone. And so as a result, we're surprised when God actually comes through. And can I say that what Jesus declares to us and describes to us in this passage of Scripture is so far the opposite of what the norm is for most of us when it comes to our prayer life. So let's look at Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse number 17. And here's what the Bible says. It says, "And he left them, and he went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, 'Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever.' And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How soon is the fig tree withered away?' And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, and we're standing on the Mount of Olivet, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done.'" Let's read verse 22 out loud together, the words of Jesus. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. What Jesus teaches us about here is believing prayer. It's a kind of prayer. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. That's what Jesus describes for us. Now consider the context of what is happening here in this passage. This circumstance takes place right in the middle of what we often refer to as the Passion Week. On Sunday, Jesus had made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We talked about that last time in our study in Matthew. He makes his triumphal entry, and the whole city seems to celebrate the arrival of the Messiah to Jerusalem. But then Mark's gospel indicates to us, in his parallel account to the same story, that on Monday, the next day, as Jesus was heading into town to cleanse the temple, he saw this fig tree and cursed it. He prayed this prayer against it. He went and cleansed the temple, went back to Bethany, and it was on Tuesday, as they were on their way back into the city, that the Bible indicates to us in Mark's account of this same story, the disciples saw that fig tree that Jesus had prayed and cursed and asked that no fruit ever grow on it again. And they saw it all shriveled up. And they saw it all wilted and essentially dead. And they were amazed at the power of Jesus' prayer. When the next day they saw this fig tree all withered up, they marveled at the fact that God had answered Jesus' prayer. Now to me, I find this, sometimes I look at these things and I think it's a little bit funny. Here are disciples who'd seen Jesus raise people from the dead, okay? Here are disciples who've seen Jesus open blind eyes, make people who couldn't walk be able to walk again. And they're marveling at the fact that he cursed a tree and it died. That's just like us as humanity. But we're not so dissimilar from these disciples. Listen to this. Like the disciples, we are often astounded when God answers somebody's prayer. We hear stories of people throughout history, people like George Mueller, for example, or D.L. Moody, people like Corrie ten Boom, some of these people that prayed big prayers and saw God give big answers, and we look at their testimonies and we're just amazed to hear about God answering people's prayers in such a powerful way. Amazed almost to the degree we don't think it would be possible for people like us. And yet Jesus wanted his disciples then to understand, and he wants us as his disciples today to still understand that this power is not reserved for a select few people. It is available to all believers if you would be willing to pray in faith, believing prayer. What would happen if you started to pray this way? How would it change the way you prayed if when you prayed, you actually believed God would answer you? I dare say it would change the way a lot of us pray. We might be more careful for what we pray for example. We might pray with more fervency if we really believed God would answer our prayers. And I'll say it'll change your life. It'll change your life if you learn to pray believing that God is going to answer you. In this passage of Scripture, the Bible, the Lord Jesus, gives us five truths that we can learn about believing prayer that I want us to look at together. And before we get into this, let's still our hearts before the Lord and ask for God to speak to us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you this morning, and I'm grateful to be able to open up this passage of Scripture. I'm thankful for the things that you have taught me. My heart is stirred and challenged, because I believe that most of us, including me, so often do not pray this way. And I pray that you would convict us. I pray that you change our perspective. I pray that you challenge us. And Lord, I pray that you would reinvigorate our prayer lives as a result of listening to the words that you taught us and you demonstrated for us. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first truth I want you to write down is this: believing prayer is cooperative prayer. Believing prayer is cooperative prayer. Jesus said in verse number 21, as his disciples marveled at the fact that God had answered his prayer, Jesus told them in verse number 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you," in the next four words, let's read them out loud together, "if ye have faith." if ye have faith. Believing prayer is cooperative prayer. Listen, believing prayer does not start with you. It starts with God. That's where it starts. Now, you have no reason to believe that anything that you wish or will happen. But you can have every confidence that when you ask God to do something, it can come to pass. That's why I say believing prayer is cooperative prayer. It does not start with you, but it starts with having faith in God. Believing prayer does not come from positive feelings, but it comes from personal faith. And that personal faith is rooted in God and God alone. The reason why you can pray and believe that something will happen is because of the person who you are praying to. That's the first truth that Jesus demonstrates to us here. And we don't see it in Matthew's account, but in Mark's parallel account, he quoted the words of Jesus in this story in this way. In Mark chapter number 11 and verse 22, Mark said that Jesus told his disciples not just to have faith, but he told them to have faith in God. He was directing their faith to in a specific direction. It was not faith in nothing. It was faith in something, in someone, and that is God. A lot of people talk about the matter of faith today, and they say, well, if you just believe, it will happen. Believing in nothing will make nothing happen. Your belief has to be directed to someone. And that's where believing prayer begins. It begins with a foundation of faith in God and God alone. Now, some people say they struggle with this matter of faith. But you probably struggle with it a lot less than you think. Everyone has faith, and everyone exercises faith every single day. For example, when you walked into this building this morning, you had faith in the people who built it that it wasn't going to fall in on your head. You didn't realize you did, but you did, all right? When you go deposit your paycheck at the bank, you have to have faith in the bank that they're going to take care of your money for you, all right? We could go down the line of things, but most of us exercise faith on a daily basis in things that really shouldn't be that trustworthy to us, but we're just expecting people to do what they should do. We exercise faith on a daily basis. It reminds me of the story I heard about a pastor. He went to go visit one of his elderly ladies in the nursing home. And when he went to go visit her, she was indisposed at the moment, so he was just waiting for her in her room there for a moment. And as he was sitting there, he noticed there was a bowl of peanuts on the table in front of him. And some of you heard this before. He thought, boy, I'm real hungry. I haven't had lunch yet. So he started to eat those peanuts. Boy, she took quite a long while, so before you know it, wouldn't you know it, he ate every single one of those peanuts. When she walked in the room, finally, he said, I am so sorry. I was so hungry. I ate all of your peanuts. And she said, that's okay. I was done with them. I already sucked all the chocolate off of them. Now, I actually saw that happen one time. That's a true story, okay? Didn't happen to me. I actually saw that happen once. But anyways, we put a whole lot of faith in people, and people aren't always really trustworthy, okay? I don't know why a person would do something like that, but the truth is, when you put the faith, when you consider the faith that we so often put in fallen humanity, how much more should we have faith in a faithful God who has never failed, who will never let you down? Faith, believing prayer, it starts with faith rooted in God. The difference between baseless faith and believing faith is the object of your faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, he's the one that we're supposed to look to. And as long as we're looking to the Lord, we can pray believing prayers. So understand, it is not the strength of your faith, but it is the strength of the one in whom you put your faith that allows you to pray believing prayers. The truth is, we're often very weak in our faith. But I'm glad that as weak and meager as my prayers may be, as often and doubt-filled as they may be, it is not the power of my faith that brings about the answer, but it is the power of the one in whom I put my faith. And that is where believing faith must begin. And so Jesus made clear that you either had this kind of faith or you don't have this kind of faith. Notice in verse 21 again. He said, if you have possess, hold this kind of faith. Well, how do you know if you have faith? How do you know if you have this kind of faith in God that Jesus is talking about here? Well, what is faith? Well, at its basis level, faith is simply trust in God. It's trusting in God. So listen to me on this. If you exhibit whether or not you have faith by how you respond to situations that require you to trust God. Let me pull something out of the hat here as an example. Let's take the matter of tithing for an example. Giving your first 10% to the Lord. If you don't have faith, you won't tithe. Why? Well, I just don't think that I could make it without that. Who are you trusting? I got one amen on that, okay? If you have faith, you will tithe. Why? Because you trust that God will take care of your needs. Because he said he would. That's a promise. Malachi tells us about that promise. Listen, how and what you pray for when you pray tells you everything about what you really believe about God. Jesus said if you're going to pray believing prayers, it starts with believing in God. Have faith in God. Believing prayer holds to the person and the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that without faith it is impossible to believe him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Believe in the person of God. And you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe in the promises of God. And listen, with a firm hold on your faith in God, you can pray believing prayers when you truly believe in the God of the universe. And so we see that believing prayer is, first of all, cooperative prayer. It doesn't start with you, it starts with your faith in God. Then the second truth I want you to see is that believing prayer is confident prayer. It is confident prayer. Jesus said in verse 21, if you have faith, and then he said, and doubt not. Let's read that last phrase together. And doubt not. If you have faith and doubt not. What is doubt? Well, doubt in this particular verse is translated from the Greek word diakrino, which means to be at odds with oneself or to dispute with oneself. You ever experienced that before? To be at odds with yourself? I think all of us have experienced the crippling nature of doubt. Doubt causes you to play things over and over in your mind because you're not sure how it's all going to turn out. Doubt will cause you to second guess things, especially God, when it comes to this matter of prayer. We are very prone in our prayers to doubt God, to doubt how it is all going to turn out. Now, I'll tell you this. As long as you have faith, you're always going to have the possibility of doubt. You're not going to be able to escape it, all right? So I'm gonna use Wyatt for this. Come here, Wyatt. All right, now Wyatt, come on up here so everybody can see. Wyatt, I have a simple question for you today. In my hand, I have a $20 bill. Do you believe me? No. Let me get somebody else. I'm just kidding. In my hand, I have a $20 bill. You don't believe me, all right? Now, if he did believe me, because most people would believe the pastor, right? I would say, I'm going to destroy your faith. Now, you believe I don't have $20 in my hand. I believe I do have $20 in my hand. Of course, I know that, right? Now, when I open my hand, what do I have? $20, right? $20. What are you so impressed about? It's a $20 bill. All right? Now, here's the thing. As long as this was in my hand, for him to believe that I had it in my hand required faith. Why? Because he couldn't see. He didn't know. Didn't appear that I did. I just told him I did. He had to trust my word, right? As soon as I showed him the $20 bill, I destroyed his faith. Why? Because now he sees it. Now he knows it. And the truth of the matter is, in order for faith to work, you can't see. You can't know for sure. There's always a measure of doubt. All you have is the word of the person who told you, trust me. When it comes to salvation, you tangibly tell me in specific physical terms that you know you're going to heaven? No, but I do know that I'm going to heaven because God told me that he's going to take me there one day because I put my faith in Jesus. And one day my faith will become sight. But until it becomes sight, it's still faith. Because that's how faith works. Hey, thanks for helping me out, all right? I'm sure he was hoping I was going to give him the $20 bill, all right? The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, look at this, not seen. We can't see it, but we have the word of someone who told us that it's true. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. We don't live by sight as Christians in this earth. We live by faith. And the truth of the matter is, knowing who it is that we pray to gives us confidence to pray because we know that we can trust the word of God over the whispers of our doubts. And the fact is, when God says he's going to do something, even though we can't see it, and even though we can't understand how it's going to happen, we can believe it because we trust the word of the God who said it. And that's the source of power for believing prayer. Believing prayer is confident prayer because it's based on the word of God himself. And by the way, you can trust the word of a God who cannot lie. The Bible says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 that it is the God who cannot lie who has made his promises to us. And when God says he's going to do something, you can bank it down. It's as good as done. It's going to happen. That's the God that we serve today. And when you have confident faith, you will not hesitate to trust, nor will you second guess that God is going to come through for you. I want you to look at your notes at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. May I ask you, does confidence describe the way that you pray? When you ask for something from God, are you confident that God is going to come through? I'd say that doubt plagues more of our prayers than what we care to admit. But believing prayer is cooperative prayer. Believing prayer is confident prayer. Here's the third truth I want you to write down. Believing prayer is conquering prayer. It is conquering prayer. Look down at verse 21 with me again. Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And let's read the first part of verse 22 together. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, all things whatsoever. Now remember what's happening here. The disciples had been amazed at a small answer to prayer that Jesus had obtained. And so Jesus opened their eyes to see the incredible power, mountain-moving power that was available to them if they would simply believe as they prayed to God. Believing prayer has unlimited potential. That's what Jesus was describing for us here. When you pray, believing in your God, your prayer has unlimited potential. There is no mountain that cannot be moved. There's no problem that cannot be solved. There's no barrier that cannot be removed. There is no need that cannot be supplied when you bring your need to God, believing that God can come through for you. So whether it is a fig tree-sized problem or a mountain-sized problem, there is nothing that is too small or too big for our God when you come to him in prayer. Luke 1 and verse number 37 says, it tells us, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. There is nothing that our God cannot do if he chooses to do so. And so no matter what your need is today, I want to encourage you. God is able to meet your need. God is able to do so, and you're talking to a God who cares for you. That's why I love what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Listen, I don't care what your burden is today. It's time for you to listen to the word of the Lord today and realize God cares for you and God can come through for you if you will just trust him. That's what Jesus is inviting us to do today. If you look at verse number 22, notice the word in particular, whatsoever. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask for, he can answer. Whatever you ask for, he can answer. That word whatsoever, it literally means as great as or as far as. That's what it's talking about. So listen to this. Listen. Believing prayer can go as far as God can go. Believing prayer gets answers as great as the God to whom it is addressed. That's the measure, that's the scope of believing prayer. When you make a God-sized request, you can expect a God-sized answer. That's why I like what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. The Lord says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." When you call to God, you can expect God to come through in a God-sized way. By the way, I like what the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles. It tells us that God's looking for people who will trust Him enough to allow Him to work in their life and bring glory to His name. Look at this in your notes. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16 and verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." God's looking for some people who will trust Him. God's looking for some people who will stop praying casual prayers. God's looking for people who will trust Him enough to let Him do what only God can do in and through their life. That's what God's longing for. Like the old Southern Gospel song that says, "There is no problem too big. God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall. He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep that He cannot soothe it." I want to remind you, church, today, God can. God can. When I think about this new building, I can't tell you in tangible terms how it's going to happen. But here's what I can tell you. God can do it. When it comes to your marriage, I don't know how it can be resolved. I'll tell you this. God can do it. When it comes to that wayward child that you have been praying for, maybe even thought about giving up because you think nothing's ever going to change, can I tell you, God can. God can reach that child. God can turn their hearts back to Him. The question is, are you going to keep trusting Him? Are you going to keep trusting God with that burden that you have in your life today? Listen to this. God can, but He won't until you choose to believe that He can. John Wesley said this. He said, "God does nothing except in response to believing prayer." I think a part of the reason is that because He gets the glory from it. I want you to understand the one thing that may be holding the Lord back from doing that thing in your life that you so long for Him to do is He's just waiting for you to trust Him. He's just waiting for you to stop trying to figure it out for yourself. He's just waiting for you to pray believing prayer. Believing prayer is cooperative prayer. Believing prayer is conquering prayer. It's confident prayer. But here's the fourth truth I want you to see. Believing prayer is communicated prayer. It is communicated prayer. Look at verse number 22. Jesus said here in verse number 22, "In all things whatsoever," and let's read the next five words together, "ye shall ask in prayer." Let's say it again. "Ye shall ask in prayer." You see, there's a requirement insinuated in these words. What do you have to do? Ask. "If ye shall ask in prayer." Well, what does it mean to ask? I don't think it's a complicated thing, but to ask is to make a request. It's to call out for something. It's to express your desire. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." You want to know what asking is? It's letting your requests be made known unto God. That's what asking involves. God desires for you to turn every care into a prayer. He wants you to take the needs and the burdens that you have in life and to bring them to Him and to trust Him to come through for you. God is literally inviting you to ask. Jesus said, "If ye shall ask." That's a conditionary word. You can either choose not to or you can choose to do so. But Jesus said, "If you'll ask, I will answer." In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." And I propose to you that the greatest cause of unanswered prayer is unasked prayer. You have not because you what? Ask not. It's not that God can't come through for you. It's that you're not broken enough and you're not willing enough to ask God to come through for you. Jesus is inviting you to give your burden to him. You don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to try to solve it by yourself any longer. He invites you to bring it to him. Now, truth is, sometimes the reason we hesitate to ask is because we know our request is not appropriate. In other words, we know it's not in the will of God. It reminds me of an experience I had with one of my kids one time, and you probably had this happen too. And one of our kids came to us one time, and there was a whole incident that had happened there, and I responded to her and said, "Well, why didn't you come ask us?" And she said, "Well, I didn't want to come ask you because I knew that you would say no." How many of you parents know what I'm talking about? There's a reason we were going to say no, because it was very foolish what she was wanting to do, all right? But she just went on ahead and did it. And all of us have had that happen before. Why didn't she want to ask us? Because she already knew the answer. Some of you are trying to ask God for things you already know what the answer is. Listen, God spelled out things pretty well in his word for us. And God won't contradict his word. One of the reasons why you may be hesitating today is because you're trying to ask God for something that's not in accordance with his will. You do need to ask in accordance with his will. And by the way, the person who was the greatest demonstration of praying according to the will of God is Jesus Christ himself, who before he went to Calvary's cross prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And that has to be the motivation behind all the prayer that we pray to the Lord. We've got to pray according to the will of God. But if it's something that doesn't contradict the will of God, and it's a desire and a burden that God has placed on your heart, Jesus invites you, "Just ask me." And he says, "I love to come through for people who come with this kind of believing prayer." And so if you pray believing that God will answer, you will not hesitate to ask to bring your request to the Lord. Believing prayer is communicated prayer. Here's the final truth I want us to see, and that is that believing prayer is compensated prayer. Believing prayer is compensated prayer. At the end of verse number 22, the Lord says, "In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing," let's read the last three words, "ye shall receive." Ye shall receive. Believing prayer is answered prayer. Believing prayer is answered prayer. That's what Jesus is indicating to us here. The phrase "shall receive," it literally gives the mental picture of you're going to lay your hands on it. You're going to lay hold of it. It is in the future tense, which means it hasn't happened yet, but you know it's going to happen. You know it's coming down the road. So believing prayer is willing to ask because you know that God is going to give his answer. You know that God's going to come through for you. As I quoted earlier, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." And then Jesus goes on to say, "For everyone that asks receives, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him." Listen, God is not some cosmic bully sitting up in heaven just deciding what kinds of blessings he wants to give out and what kinds of blessings he doesn't want to give out. No, God is a father who finds pleasure in taking care of the needs of his children. It is something that Jesus describes for us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, where the Bible says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts or good things to them that ask him." I want to encourage you, Christian. God's not sitting up in heaven willfully trying to withhold blessing from you, withhold the answer from you. No, as a father pities his children, the Lord pities us. He finds good pleasure in giving to his children a part of the kingdom. That's what the Bible tells us. And friend, God loves you. God wants to take care of you. God wants to help you with your need if you just be willing to trust him. If you just be willing to ask him, he finds pleasure in coming through for you. Now, let me give this application. I believe that for many people, the reason you hesitate to come to God and ask is because you know in your heart of hearts that you don't deserve to come before God. The reason is that you're a sinner. There's sin that's between you and God. And you hesitate to come to God because you don't truly know God as your Savior. I want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you. Here's the gospel. The good news. If you're a sinner who feels like, I can't come talk to God, I don't know if God will receive somebody like me, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came and died on the cross to pay for every single sin that you've ever done. Your sins paid for. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. And now the Bible says that he is able to save every single person who comes unto God by him in Hebrews chapter 7. He can save your soul. He can cleanse you of your sin. And you know what he can do? He can give you the confidence to be able to come before God without any hesitation. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us, believers, therefore come boldly unto his throne of grace, that we may find grace and obtain mercy to help us in time of need. And boy, when you know Christ as your Savior, you'll have no hesitation to be able to come before the throne of God and make your request known. But for some of you, the reason why you may be hesitating to come to God is because you've never dealt with your sin. You've never dealt with your sin. And today, the message for you is to come trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sin. The moment you do that, you can start praying believing prayers, because there's no more hindrance between you and God. You're cleansed from your sin. If you never trusted Christ, I hope that you'll make that decision to trust Christ as your Savior today. And to you believers, I want to remind you that God answers those who ask him. God will always give an answer. Now, here's a tough thing. He doesn't always give us the answer we asked for. But like a good father who knows what's best for us, he always gives us the answer that we need. Now, sometimes he just gives us the answers that we want. I went up hunting yesterday, and I only had 2 days to hunt this season. And I had taken a preaching meeting. That's almost a cardinal sin, to take a preaching meeting right in the middle of your hunting season, all right? But I felt like it's what the Lord wanted me to do, so I was going up the mountain, and I said, God, you don't owe me anything. But I only got 2 days to get this done. And so I pray that you'll bless my way and give me an opportunity. So we went up the mountain, and lo and behold, by 8 a.m., that bull was down. And I praise God for that. Now, that doesn't happen every time I go hunting. But you know, sometimes God says, okay, all right, okay, dummy, I'll just march him right in front of you so you can get your chance. And I'm thankful. Yes, God sometimes gives you what you want. But I say, when you do ask, God will always give you what you need. And sometimes what you need is a no. Some of the best answered prayers in my life have been no's. And I didn't understand why then, but I'm grateful. When you ask, God will always answer. He'll always come through for you. That's why the Bible challenges us to pray these believing prayers. So I say to you, it will change your life if when you start to pray, you pray like you actually believe God will answer you. Believing prayer is cooperative prayer. It doesn't start with you. It starts with God, with your eyes on God. Believing prayer is confident prayer. You place your confidence in the Word of God over the whispers of your doubt. You can't see how it's going to happen like that $20 bill, but you know because God said it's there, or God said it will happen, that He will come through. Believing prayer is conquering prayer. It goes as far as God can go. It's limitless. It's boundless. Believing prayer is communicated prayer. You ask knowing that God is going to answer. And believing prayer is compensated prayer. It always results in God-sized results. And so as we prepare to end this service today, I want to give you a challenge. Now, don't tune me out yet. This is very practical. I want to give you a challenge. I want you to think of something right now in this service that you can pray for and ask God to do in your life this week. This week. And you just see if God will come through for you. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't know if God can do this week. Really? Look at the fig tree. Look at the mountain. Jesus said, if you just trust me, I can come through for you. Now, you may not believe it's possible, but I'm challenging you to take a step of faith this morning. You ask God for something, and you just see if God will come through for you. You say, oh, Pastor, you shouldn't say something like that. What if God doesn't answer their prayer? He will. I know it because he said it. And I believe it for you too. That's what I want to challenge you with. What's your burden? Is it small? Is it big? Is it a fig tree? Is it a mountain? I don't care what it is. You bring it to God, and you just see how God comes through for you. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes. We're going to have some moments of invitation today, give you a chance to respond.